Morning.
Let's open our Bibles to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. While you're turning, our midweek service this week will be on Thursday night. Not Wednesday night, but Thursday night. And Todd Nybert will be here to preach for us. So we're looking forward to having him, and then hopeful. I know our pastor's hopeful that he may be able to be back with us Thursday night. So, and if you notice, Aaron and Michelle smiling bigger than usual, even behind those masks, it's because they drove out and got to look through the window and see that grandbaby last night. So, Alec and Lindy and Lynn are home. So. All right, Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a people. Lord, thankful that you have brought us here this morning. And Lord, we pray you'd bless us with your presence. Lord, that you bless us with the sound of your gospel. Lord, a gospel that saves. A gospel that's not dependent upon man. A gospel that is completely of thee. Lord, as Jonah said, salvation, how we thank thee that salvation is of the Lord. Lord, for those of our number who are in a time of difficulty, in a time of trouble, Lord, comfort your people, strengthen your people, encourage your people, and Lord, bless us in all things. Cause us to look to thee and rest in thee in all things. Lord, we pray you'd continue to be with our pastor, that you would strengthen him, and Lord, return him to us. Lord, we pray for he and Janet. Lord, we pray for Alec and Lindy and Lynn. Lord, as they come home, Lord, that you would be with them in these times. Lord, bless us again. Be with us this morning. Bless us with your presence. Lord, help us to Lord, hear thy word. Lord, be pleased to speak thy gospel to us here this morning. Again, bless us in days to come. Continue with us. Lord, strengthen us and be with us in all things. Forgive us our sins. We pray thee for Christ's sake. Amen.
merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb would rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You gave us hope when our hearts had hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave us healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving the lost, here in our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave us healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave us healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger.
Thank you, boys. We're also thankful to have Jimmy and Sarah and Amber with us this morning. So you might notice Clara's smiling a little bigger as well. So let's open our Bibles together to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 15. This is a passage that really doesn't need much explanation. It just needs to be proclaimed. Paul writing to Timothy, he said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Paul says, "Of whom I am the chief." This is a faithful saying. It's a sure saying. It's a true saying. You know, much of what men say in our time, it's difficult to know if what's being said is true. I often think of that, whether it's on TV or wherever it is. Is what they're saying, is that true? Is that true? Because there's always something to contradict it. But what Paul's writing here, this is true. This is a true saying. This is a faithful saying. Paul writing to the Galatians, he said, this comes from the Word of God. He said, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you've received, let him be accursed. Isaiah said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, what's written in God's word, it's because there's no light in them. To Timothy, Paul said, I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not. What I'm telling you, what God's word reveals to us is the truth. Not to be questioned. It's not for, what we declare is not for personal gain. It's not for the praise of men. We preach this gospel for the salvation of those whom the Lord will be pleased to reveal it to. The gospel is the truth. It's the power of God unto salvation. Paul said, "My heart's desire and prayer to Israel is that they might be saved." We declare the truth. We preach this gospel that men might hear it, that men might be saved by the preaching of the gospel. And we declare this gospel for the glory of God, to glorify Him. That God would be glorified, not man, not this flesh, but that God would be glorified. Over in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, turn there with me. 1 Peter 4. Here we read 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God hath given him, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. If any man, we read this, if any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. David said, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." So when we preach the gospel, when we declare the truth of His word, this truth, it's for the salvation of those to whom God would be pleased to reveal it to. It's for the glory of God. It's that God might be glorified in all things. And listen, it's that we would be true to His word. Anytime we stand in this place, we desire to be true to God's word, to what His word says. We preach the word, the truth. It's God's word. It's not man's word. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what man has to say, but by the word of Almighty God. Paul says this is a faithful saying. This is a sure saying. This is a true saying. It's a statement to be believed, not to be debated. A lot of debate going on. This word's not to be debated. God's word is to be heard. It's not to be doubted. We're to rest in what God's word said. It's not to be argued against. It is to be believed. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It's to be received. It's to be accepted as proof. What's here is proof of what God has said, of what He's declared. And this saying, these sayings concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God said, this is what He said of His Son. He said, "This is my beloved Son." He's the Son of God, declared in the Scriptures. God spake in Hebrews. He said, "Thy throne, O God." God the Father said this to the Son. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." John the Baptist said this of Him. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Simeon, you talked about, remember when Simeon took Him up in his arms and he said, "Let thy servant depart in peace." This is what He said, Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "For mine eyes have beheld thy salvation." Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Jesus Christ, He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He is the Savior. There's no other Savior. He is the Savior. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, three things I'd like for us to consider this morning concerning this statement. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The first is this. What is a sinner? What is a sinner? That's what's mentioned here. Jesus, I'm kind of interested in that. If Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, what is a sinner? Now, in God's Word, we read of those who were known as sinners. People knew them as sinful human beings. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Beginning with verse 36. Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went unto the Pharisee's house, and he sat down at meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with the tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. And when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, then spake they within himself, saying, This man, he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Others knew her. Everybody in that town knew this woman was a sinner. Any doubt the Lord Jesus Christ knew she was a sinner? We read in God's Word of those who knew themselves as sinners. Paul, in our text here this morning, he said he didn't refer to himself just as a sinner. He referred to himself as the chief of sinners. It had been revealed to him that he was a sinner. Paul had grown up in false religion. He would no doubt have been seen by others as a religious man, as a Pharisee. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Look, beginning with verse 4 of Philippians 3. Paul says, Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof to glory, whereof that he might trust in the flesh, Paul said, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But the things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul says, this man, Paul, he said, I am the chief of sinners. And in Luke chapter 8, I won't have you turn there, but that publican, remember that publican praying? He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He smote upon his breast and he said this, God be merciful to me, sinner. So what is a sinner? Listen, it's one who has broken God's law. We have broken God's law. That transgression, the transgression of God's law, started all the way back there in the garden when Adam broke God's law. Adam disobeyed God. One law, just one law, of every tree in the garden. He said, you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. Don't eat of it. In the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know what Adam did, don't we? Huh? Adam ate that fruit. Adam broke God's law. He disobeyed God. He said what we all say by nature. We'll not have this man to reign over us. He disobeyed God's law. He sinned against God. In Romans 5:19, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Here's the second question. What is a sinner? It's one who's broken God's law. It's transgressed God's law. My second question is this. Am I a sinner? Have I done that? Have I broken God's law? Now, it would be easy for us to sit here and say, well, I know the person sitting beside of me has broke God's law. And I can give you a list of people I know that are sinners. But that's not the question. The question is this. Am I a sinner? Have I broken God's holy law? Just in one part. God's law requires perfect obedience. It requires something that none of us are capable of. We may have thought that at one time, but we're not able to obey God's law perfectly. James 2, chapter 10. Turn over there to the book of James. James chapter 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. We're not at liberty. We don't have the freedom to pick and choose what laws we would like to obey, like the Pharisees did. Isn't that what they did? Those things that people seen, those were the ones that they kept a pretty good handle on. But we're not at liberty to do that, to obey one law and neglect another. The Pharisees tried this. That's what they tried. They were outwardly moral. Our Lord said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within, full of extortion and excess, you're like whited sepulchres. You're like a grave. You're like a casket. On the outside, it's pretty and shiny, but on the inside, it's dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Turn with me just a couple of scriptures. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, look beginning with verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto them, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, he said, which one? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, boy, he was full of himself. What? He said, all of these have I kept from my youth up. Is that possible? The Lord Jesus Christ, in his Sermon on the Mount, he said, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of judgment. He said, whosoever looketh on a woman with lust after her hath committed adultery in his heart already. And this young man says, he said, all of these I've kept from my youth up. Now, I would say this outwardly, not a question in my mind, outwardly, he kept them. He kept those. When people were watching, in front of his parents, he kept them. In front of his neighbors that mattered, he kept them. In front of the religious crowd, he kept them. On his guard. Remember what the Lord said to Samuel? When he went to anoint David as king, he said, look not on his countenance. Don't look on that outward appearance. On his stature. He says, for I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. That's how we see. We see the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. He knows the heart and thoughts of man. Paul, writing to the Hebrews, said this, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees all things. He knows all things. Back to this man who said that all these things I've kept from my youth up. If you're still in Matthew 19, look at verse 21. The Lord Jesus Christ, he met him where he was. He said this. He said, if you'll be perfect, you'll be perfect. He said, you go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful, because he had great possessions, and he wasn't willing to turn loose of those things, was he? The rich young ruler, he wasn't a sinner, was he? In his eyes, he wasn't a sinner. He'd kept all those things from his youth up. He didn't need Christ. His interest was in the things of this world. Paul in Philippians, he said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He said, I count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. To rest in him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Am I a sinner? Have I broken God's law? Remember, to offend in one point, one, however small we might see it to be, to offend in one point is to be guilty of the whole law. It's to be treated by the law as a transgressor. We've broken God's holy law. And listen, a sinner that's broken God's law and helpless to do anything about it in and of ourselves. I can do nothing about my sinful condition. The scriptures uses leprosy and blindness and death as a picture of man's sinfulness and our inability to do anything about it. That leper, he went to Christ. He said, if you will, not this is what I can do. If you will, you can make me whole. that blind man. Remember blind Bartimaeus? He said this. He said, he cried out and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Lazarus lay there in the grave. What could he do? He could do nothing. A dead man can do nothing. He lay there in the grave. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in power and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Oh, am I a sinner? Have I disobeyed God's law? Have I broken his law? The scriptures declare this, all, not some, not most, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Daniel told King Belshazzar, he said, and this is true of every one of us, he said, you've been weighed in the balance, and you've come up short. You've been found wanting. Well, my third question, who did the Lord Jesus Christ come to save? That's what this scripture declares. Who did Christ come to save? He didn't come to call the righteous, did he? Look at, I won't have you turn, but over in Mark chapter 2, the scribes and Pharisees, they saw our Lord eating with publicans and sinners, and they said to his disciples, they said this, how is it that this man eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when the Lord Jesus Christ, he heard him talking, and he said unto them, the whole, they don't need a physician. That's what the natural man is. He does not need a physician. The whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is repeated in Matthew and Luke. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Over and over again, calling sinners to repentance. Now that doesn't mean most. That doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people in this world, does it? But I tell you who it does mean something to. It means everything to a sinner. It means everything to those to whom he's pleased to reveal that I'm a sinner. The scriptures declare this, that Christ is all. That's who we rest in, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all. And that's good news. That's good news for a sinner, isn't it? That's something we can rest in. I've told this story before. I told it to my Sunday school class, but 40 years ago, we were on vacation. We had my grandparents had a little summer home up in Athens near a lake. And it was about, I don't know, about a mile and a half. There was the place we were living in, it had electric, had an outhouse, and if we wanted water, we could go out in the backyard and we could draw it up. Somehow that was all fun. But about a mile and a half away through the woods, there was a lodge that we'd sneak off to every now and then. Had an indoor pool, had an arcade, had a lot of things that young guys like. And me and my cousin, we went. And my papa, he told us, he said, boys, he said, you had to walk through the woods. He said, be back before dark. One thing, be back before dark. It didn't give us any other rules. Just be back before dark. And we took off with a pocket full of quarters and our swimming trunks. And boy, we had a day out of it. But at some point, we looked outside, and you know what? It's dark. It was dark. And we tried to walk back to that trail, and I mean, it was blackout. And that path ran along a lake. It was dangerous. It was cold. It's downright scary. And we had no way home. We had no way home. Despite our efforts, despite our best efforts, no way home. And we end up going back to the lodge, and I mean, we're wringing our hands thinking, what in the world are we going to do? We're stuck. We're trapped. We're lost. And it wasn't... Probably a lot less time than what it seemed like to us. But my grandpa, pulled up in front of that lodge in his pickup truck, came right to where we were. Some boys get in the truck. They loaded us up and took us home. He never said, much to my surprise, he never said a word about it. You know, there were a lot of people staying in that lodge that night. The fact that he came there and rescued us, that didn't mean anything to them. They weren't lost. Huh? They weren't hungry. They weren't in need. I tell you, we were. We were, and boy, did we rejoice. We were scared and helpless, and like I said, nothing we could do about it. And again, he told us one thing. Be home before dawn. We talk about keeping the law. Men put the Ten Commandments out in the yard. I don't have nothing against the Ten Commandments, but we can't keep them. Huh? It's good to be reminded of, isn't it? But that's not what saves a man. And we didn't need a little help either. We didn't need directions. We didn't need to take a first. We needed somebody to come again, right where we were, pick us up and deliver us. Ah, we rejoiced. He came, and he saved us. It's just me and my cousin, just two of us. This world is filled with folks that have no need. No need for a Savior. They need the things of this world. But they don't need, in their eyes, they don't need Christ. They don't need a Savior. No interest in the gospel. This word means nothing to them. If it did, we wouldn't have an empty seat here. We'd have to blow out those back walls and there'd be people standing in the parking lot. If men truly knew their need of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, He comes to the sinner. He comes right where He's at. Many of us can speak of that, can't we? He comes right where we're at. One poor lost sinner. And He saves us. He rescues us. He pulls us out of our self-righteousness. He pulls us out of our sin and shame. And listen, a true sinner, oh, when He's pleased to do that, what can we do but rejoice? What can we do but be thankful for Him who saved us? And to the sinner, when He does that, it means everything. Everything. Consider when the Lord Jesus Christ, He passed through that land of the Gadarenes. Remember that man? There he is out there naked, running through the tombs, couldn't be bound with chains. Imagine what those people of that community thought when they saw him running through that cemetery. And what about those people that were there? Because our Lord came. He came for him. But the people of that town, over in the book of Luke, we read this, that the whole multitude of the country round about, they sought the Lord Jesus Christ, not to, oh Lord, be merciful to me. Oh Lord, save me. They sought that He would depart. That He would depart out of their coast. The Lord Jesus Christ, listen, He had healed that gathering man. And there's no way they couldn't see that. One minute He's out there, they're trying to chain Him down and He's running, you know, in that condition that He was in. And now, After the Lord was pleased to show mercy, He's sitting at His feet. Sitting at His feet. Clothed. In His right mind. And the people sought the Lord. He would depart. That he would go away from them. What about that Gadarene man? Was he saying depart? Oh no. No, he was saying that he besought Him that he might stay with Him. Oh Lord, never, Never go away from me. Never leave me. Let me be with you. Aren't we thankful? Those of whom the Lord has been pleased to reveal Himself in mercy, aren't we thankful for Him? Thankful that He came to seek and to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost in the fall, lost in our sin and shame and despair. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save sinners. And listen, I'll say this. He saves. He does the saving. It's His work, isn't it? Completely of Him. He purposed and planned it before the foundation of the world. We read He's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. From eternity, He purposed, He planned, He predestinated, and He brings it to pass in His time. God hath from the beginning chosen you, chosen His people unto salvation. And listen, He provides His salvation. We read that salvation, that's what Jonah said. What? Salvation is of the Lord. Nothing in the sinner. We bring nothing. God in Christ, He provided the Lamb. He purchased us with His own blood. The Scriptures declare that when He had by Himself purged our sin, by Himself, when He, don't, we can't read over that too quickly, can we? When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of God. And listen, it's God that quickens and gives life in the sinner. He saved us by His grace. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. It's all of Him. We're made willing. We're made willing in the day of His power. It's all of Him. Not what we've done, but what He has done for us and in us. His salvation, it's an everlasting salvation. Oh, it's a salvation we can rest in. It's an everlasting salvation. Never to be lost. We're preserved. That's what the Scriptures declare. We're preserved. We're kept by the power of God. Aren't we thankful? Don't we rejoice in this, that Jesus Christ came into the world and saved sinners? All right. May God be pleased to bless you. You're dismissed.